This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Herman Cain. He's the former CEO of Godfather's Pizza, and he is now a potential candidate for the Republican nomination for president in 2012. He's the first major figure to announce the official formation of an exploratory committee. So he joins us today to explain what he'll be looking for in this exploratory phase to determine whether he'll make a full-fledged run and what he believes he would bring to the job of chief executive. And Mr. Cain, it's great to have you back with us.
It's my pleasure, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, in terms of your decision to launch this committee now, what will you be looking for to determine whether you, in fact, will be an official candidate here?
Two things. We're going to test and measure voter support, and we're going to test and measure financial support. I've had a lot of people encourage me to run over the past several months for various and sundry reasons, but people pledging that they would do things, you know, it's different when they have to write a check or sign up on our website. In fact, the website, HermanCain.com, C-A-I-N, HermanCain.com. People can go there and sign up as a volunteer, or they can make a contribution, or they can do both. So we're going to see if we can't convert some of this enthusiasm that I have been experiencing the past several months as I have traveled Iowa, New Hampshire, and parts of Georgia and South Carolina and other states. If we can't channel some of this enthusiasm and measure just how real it is, I anticipate that it's going to be it's going to exceed our expectations. So we're going to be moving in that direction, because if we don't get that measurement of support, then obviously that's an indication that people may not be ready for an unconventional candidate. I happen to believe that they are ready for an unconventional candidate, meaning someone that didn't grow up in politics, but somebody that's a problem solver rather than a politician.
You call yourself a problem solver, and your resume certainly suggests that, turning around a region of Burger King franchises before your most famous work, turning around a virtually bankrupt Godfather's Pizza chain into a smashing success. What was it about those experiences that you believe you could bring to some of the most severe economic and other challenges the country's facing right now?
Those experiences taught me that, more importantly than having the answer, you need to have an approach to getting the answer. That's what I did at Burger King and what I did at Godfather's and when I was at Pillsbury when I took over a major project. In other words, I don't go in saying, here's the answer. I go in and I do three things. Number one, are we working on the right problems? We obviously are not working on the right problems in this country because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, but didn't we know that this issue with Social Security was coming decades ago?
Sure.
And now we are talking about, well, what are we going to do? You got 10,000 baby boomers going on Social Security a day. You first make sure that you're working on the right problems. Then you prioritize. You prioritize those problems, and then you prioritize the amount of resources you put behind them. Too often, so much stuff is going on in Washington, D.C., that nothing gets done. So step one is working on the right problems and making sure we're working on the right problems. Secondly, do we have the right priorities? Let me give you an example. The ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they have an annual budget of approximately $5.5 billion. Well, during that same fiscal year, which was fiscal 2010, that was $16 billion worth of earmarks. I heard the head of ICE say he does not have enough resources to do his job, which includes enforcing the border and enforcing the laws that are already on the books. So that means that there are some misplaced priorities in solving the problem. And then the other thing that I always do is to make sure that I ask the right questions. The right questions too often are not being asked. The question that should have been asked by President Obama and the administration, you know, do we really need to pursue passing health care reform now? The answer was clearly no. The American people weren't screaming for another messed up bureaucracy, because we haven't fixed the bureaucracies in Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security that we already have. So it is the approach to problem solving that has allowed me to be successful in those business ventures, and I think those same kind of skills in terms of solving problems and empowering and motivating people is what it's going to take in order to try to fix some of the things that are wrong.
Obviously, your private sector experience would make you relatively unique in this campaign, especially among those who have spent a lot of their life in politics. But if you join this race, you'll likely be on a stage with a lot of other people who claim to be conservative, obviously would be Republican.
Yes.
How do you distinguish yourself, whether you want to mention specific likely candidates or not? How will you distinguish yourself from what will likely be a pretty large field?
I think the thing that distinguishes me is that whenever I respond to questions, I'm going to talk about how I would approach solving it rather than giving a typical political soundbite. We know we need to cut spending, but I'm going to talk about how we go about cutting spending. I go about it the same way I cut spending when I took over a business that was failing. You do a horizontal cut, and then you do a vertical deep dive cut, and I'll explain what that is. So no matter what it is we're talking about, I'm going to be putting on the table some low-hanging fruit ideas relative to several major issues, and so it'll be real clear. The way I developed these, quite frankly, was from over the last 3 years of being a very active participant in the citizens' movement that's going on across this country. Tea Party is a part of it, but also being on the radio and taking calls every night. It forced me to sharpen my common sense skills, and it forced me to sharpen my knowledge on some of the big issues that we face. National security, the economy. This economy is not being stimulated yet. With them not making the tax rates permanent, all they did was to extend the uncertainty for 2 years. That doesn't cause a businessman to say, I'm going to go out and spend $1 billion to build a new facility. No. So they haven't really taken some bold, direct stimulus steps to this economy. It's as if they are trying to tickle the economy to death. And so the approach, as well as some of the low-hanging fruit ideas that I am going to be releasing in a booklet next week called Common Sense Solutions, the Platform for the People's Platform for America.
I know our time is running short here, so in our last 60 seconds, as you well know, the most successful Republican candidates, Ronald Reagan and others, have successfully put the three legs of the Republican stool together. We've focused mostly here on economic conservatism. You also alluded to national security conservatism. Of course, there's social conservatism.
Right.
For those who are more focused on foreign policy or more focused on cultural conservative issues, how will they find your stance on their key issues?
They will like my stance on those because I am a social conservative. But they may not be happy that I'm not going to make those the priority issues that we need to address first. One of the things that you have to do when you take over an organization or if you become president is to make sure that the priorities are clear and that you don't allow yourself to get distracted. I'm not saying that they are not important. It's just that some of those issues are not going to be on the top of my agenda because there are other issues on the top of my agenda. They'll be in the parade, but they're not going to lead the parade. And what I mean by that, I will not sign any legislation that is going to weaken the cultural foundation or the social foundation of this country, which I firmly believe in and what the founders intended. I'm not going to sign any legislation that's going to weaken the First Amendment or the Second Amendment or anything like that. But trying to pass a constitutional amendment relative to a social issue, I think would be a big distraction and a disservice to what we really need to be focusing on if we want to get this country back on the right track for our grandchildren.
Well, Mr. Kane, we'll certainly look forward to seeing how this exploratory phase works out for you, and we'll certainly be following you if you decide to join the campaign trail. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Greg. My pleasure.
Absolutely. Herman Kane, you can find him at HermanKane.com, former CEO of Godfather's Pizza, has worked private sector miracles at Godfather's Pizza, Burger King, Pillsbury, and elsewhere. He's now considering very seriously a Republican bid for president. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.